Well, it's good to be here. Well, Texas is better, but just saying. Might as well get this war going, amen. Get things stirred up. Well, now I get here on Friday, and you know, the preacher throws me in the parking lot. Let's see, the Whittingtons, where are y'all hiding? Okay. They were out there with us, and Miss Christine was with us there in the parking. Man, wind's blowing. We couldn't even put the banners up in the back of the truck because the wind was blowing so hard. And I thought, now, I've never been treated as cruelly. My first time in Oklahoma here, and I thought, you know, I'd heard good things, but, well, and you know, so, but yesterday made up for it, so, yeah. Amen. But no, just we've enjoyed ourselves. We did get here Friday, had an opportunity to hand out Bibles on Friday. What were the numbers on Friday? Do you remember, Miss Debbie? We didn't have as successful of a day on Friday, but still, anytime you can get the Word of God out, it's exciting. Amen. And the Lord's word will not return void. So we had a great time. But then yesterday was really God just showed up and blessed in a great way. And we started out at Walmart and got to talk to several people. And then, man, just was having a good day there. And we had left, and preacher had taken us over to Whataburger for lunch. Yes, amen. Amen for Whataburger. But we'd gone there and got a phone call. They had come out from Walmart, told us we'd have to leave. And so that was disappointing. But then I believe it's of the Lord, because we moved and went over in front of PetSmart and had some more folks saved over there. So you know, you never know what God wants to do, but I know this, He always wants to see folks saved, amen? And so we're thankful. Listen, you know, it amazes me. I was telling preachers, the Bible handout portion of our ministry got started because of COVID. We were hindered, just like many churches were, from getting out knocking doors. People didn't want you at their door. They're scared of the virus and all those kind of things. But still had a burden to get the gospel out. So just had the thought of, you know, putting up some banners that say free Bibles, pull up in a Walmart parking lot and see what had happened. And again, like I'd said earlier, the first time we did it in July of 2020, in about 90 minutes, had three folks saved, and it has continued to grow from there, and we are excited. We just, I think it's 2 weeks ago now, we got our second shipment of 20,000 New Testaments. We have to purchase that many at a time to be get them for a dollar a piece, and so God is so gracious to us. When we first started out, we had several ministries, Global Missions, Bearing Precious Seed, Brother Dennis Deneau and Brother Sam Martin were donating Bibles to us. But then once we were able and raised the funds, we bought 20,000 New Testaments, and we have gone through those and just got our second shipment of 20,000. And man, it's just been exciting to see what God's doing, how many folks are getting saved. I could take up the whole time just talking about some of the things that we've seen happen in different places, and man, just different folks getting saved. It's just amazing. You know, it doesn't matter where we go in the country. We go up and down the East Coast from Maine and New Jersey. Who would have thought anybody gets saved in New Jersey? Amen. I thought when we went to Philadelphia, I really did. I thought, man, nobody in Philadelphia would be interested in this. And it was amazing. We set up in what used to be a restaurant. They were closed down, and so we set up in the parking lot there. Man, we were having folks saved, and we were there 3 or 4 days in a row, and every day having folks saved. And so just exciting. But down in Maryland and Ohio and Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, up in Minnesota and out in South Dakota, from down in Texas, now here in Oklahoma. This is the first time we've done the Bible handout in Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana, Georgia, Florida. And man, it's just been amazing. Everywhere we go, I don't know how to say it. To my heart, it is such an exciting thing to see. Who would have thought folks would pull up? I mean, you just put up a free Bible. Who would have thought folks would pull up and just, man, be open to talking to you about the Lord and wanting a Bible? And it's just been amazing. I told preacher, now you forgive my language, but it is stupid easy. I know we're not supposed to use that word, but I'm telling you, the word easy. It's so simple. And I'd encourage you, as preacher continues the ministry, please come out and get involved. I promise you'll have fun. You'll meet some folks that are hurting. We have folks pull up that we've seen them, folks that just been diagnosed with cancer, just want somebody to pray with them. Been able to talk with a lady that she had just lost a baby the day before and was just hurting and needing someone to pray with her. I know we were in Bourbonnais. This has been several years back, and it was in April. A young lady pulled up. In fact, we were beginning to take our materials down, but this young lady pulled up, and man, she got out of her car. She's just crying, and I thought, ma'am, are you okay? She said, no. She said, I'm really going through some difficult times in my life right now. And I said, well, let's just stop and pray first. And so I did, just stopped and prayed with her. Normally, I like to have men talk with men and ladies talk with ladies. Doesn't always work out. But my wife had, when I first prayed with her, my wife was busy talking to someone else, but I noticed she had finished. So I motioned for her to come over there. I introduced her, said, this is Ashley, and Ashley's just really going through some tough times. Would you talk with her? And so Ashley was going through some domestic issues in her home, and Miss Debbie was able to take the Bible and lead Ashley to Christ. That was on Tuesday. Wednesday night, Ashley's at church. On Sunday, we were up in Chicago area at a church, but Ashley was there Sunday morning. We had an early afternoon service with that church up in the Chicago area, so we were back home at night. She's there Sunday night, got baptized that night. Monday started Brother Coral was there. It's the National Revival Fires Conference started on Monday. Monday night, Ashley's there at church. Tuesday morning, Ashley's there at church. Tuesday night, Ashley's there at church. Now Wednesday morning, she had a doctor's appointment. Wednesday night, she's back at church. And I say that God's still in the saving business. And see, I'll preach about it somewhat this morning, but listen, salvation changes people. Amen. See, this salvation that is preached today that does not change lives, not biblical salvation. So I you don't know my testimony, but take your Bible, John chapter 3 this morning. I was a nursery baby, grew up in church, you forgive me now, 12 years old, sitting in the church pew, rebelled against everything I'd been taught and preached all of my life, and again, just a 12-year-old boy growing up down the Houston area, sitting in the church pew. Not only rebelled against my parents, but began to do drugs. At 16, I told them I'm not going back. Thank God for some godly parents that loved me and continued to pray for me. So that when I was a 23-year-old young man, the Holy Spirit of God showed up in my apartment. Let me say this. Parents, don't ever apologize for making your kids go to church. Don't ever do that. Because, listen, my parents, I say this. I blame my parents for my drug problem. They drug me to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Amen. And I'm glad they did, because when the Holy Spirit of God showed up at my apartment, see, I knew exactly what was going on. I knew I was lost. I knew I was under conviction. I knew I needed to be saved. Knew where my dad was that morning. He was sitting at his kitchen counter, reading in his Bible and praying before he went to work. It's about 6:30 in the morning. Called my dad and told him I wanted to get saved. I'll never forget, he said, yeah, let's pray. And that morning I worked at a steel mill down in the Houston area. I was a long-haired, motorcycle-riding, drug-dealing 60s, 70s hippies, and I was pretty, amen. That's what I thought anyway. Fellas I dealt drugs to on Friday, by God's grace, I was talking about Jesus on Monday. See, I believe this with all my heart. Salvation will not leave you the same. Can I say this? I don't want it to leave me the same. And I want to be different. I love this morning singing the songs of Zion. And I don't know about you. I'm so glad I'm here. I'm so glad I'm saved. Well, look at a fellow this morning that I think you'd find in a Bible handout. A fellow named Nicodemus. He came looking for something. Amen. If you have a Bible and able, John chapter 3, if you'd stand with me. Just going to read a few verses and pray, and then we'll look at the message this morning. All right. John chapter 3, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. If you have that, say amen. Wave at me. Do something. Let me know you got it. All right. If you have a Bible, it'll say there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Verse 8, The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And what a story. Here's a man that came already had a spiritual interest, looking for something. Boy, did he come to the right man, amen? The right man that had a good story. Told Nicodemus, well, you'd think Nicodemus be really a very wise man, ruler of the Jews. That time, those fellows, boy, they had outshined many of us. Those fellows, many of them would have had the first five books of the Bible memorized. Very intelligent, knowledgeable when it came to the Word of God. But can I say this? They did not understand the Word of God. Remember in 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, nor foolishness unto them, neither can they know. See, they don't understand it all. That's Nicodemus. Didn't understand it all. Let's pray and we'll look at the message. Father, please help me now. I pray, God, I need you. I need the fullness of the Spirit of God. And Lord, I'd ask you just to use me this morning. Help me. God, please, if there's someone here that's not been born again, oh God, work in their heart this morning in a way that they'd see the need of a Savior. God, fill me. Fill your people that they might have hearing ears. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. You know, Nicodemus, again, it says their foolishness unto them. Neither can they know them because they're spiritually discerned. See, Nicodemus was a perfect illustration of that verse, if you will. Here Jesus tells him a spiritual thing. Many of us today, if I ask you to raise your hand and say, do you understand what being born again is? Man, we'd throw our hand up. Sure, I understand being born again. Nicodemus did not understand and did not know anything about what Jesus was talking about. In fact, he asked to me one of the dumbest questions in all the Bible. You want to slap him in the back of the head, amen? Nicodemus, what in the world are you thinking? What do you mean? Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You think, come on, you cannot be that dumb. Yet here he is asking Jesus, really, is that what you're talking about? Well, no, that's not what I'm talking about. And Jesus makes it very clear. If you look there in verse 8, and listen, man, this verse is so important. Look, he says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Now, here's the sound thereof, but canst not tell whether it, whence it cometh, whether it goeth. For everyone that is, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. What Jesus is trying to get across to Nicodemus is this. Listen, you cannot get saved without the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And there's a lot of folks today, not trying to be unkind, but there's a lot of folks today that want to try to take through a few verses and pray in a prayer and claim somebody's saved. Can I say, I don't believe in that kind of salvation. See, I believe it takes this. Not only does it take a soul winner showing someone, but it takes the Holy Spirit of God working in a heart to help them to see their need of salvation, to help them to see that listen, they've got a sin problem. And we need to understand that, man, as Jesus is, really the thing that got me, if you look down to verse 7, the word that really got me as Jesus is talking to Nicodemus is this. He said, ye must be born again. Man, I believe there's something in the words of Jesus that day or that night as he's talking to Nicodemus. It isn't just that you know, man, in order to see heaven, you've got to be born again, Nicodemus. Yeah, he's saying that, but I think there's more to it than that. He's saying, Nicodemus, man, without it, you're going to end up in hell. Nicodemus, you must. And you stop and think about who he's talking to. Man, the one that is the Savior, God himself. And he is the creator of Nicodemus. You understand that God made you and I with a never-dying soul. The reason he did that is so that you and I can spend all of eternity fellowshipping with God. He didn't make us like a dog or a cat. No, he gave us a never-dying soul. so that we can. Listen, for all of eternity, that's his desire and his will. That's what he wanted from Nicodemus. Nick, you must be born again. Please don't miss that, Nicodemus. He didn't understand. And Jesus explains to him, and man, I think a light kind of went on. And Nicodemus shakes his head, how can these things be? How can they be? Can I simply say this to start out this morning? Man, to be born again is to be saved. I tell folks all the time in explaining that word saved, two things that it means. First is this, that we've been forgiven of all our sin. Hey, understand today, salvation is not eternal life in heaven. Salvation is the forgiveness of sin. See, those others are just the benefit of salvation. Hey, God wants to deal with the sin in our heart. That's bottom line of it. Listen, as I was talking to the two different fellows yesterday, I made it clear. Listen, the first thing is this. You've sinned against a holy God. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, we've done things we knew as wrong, yet we did them anyway. Nobody ever stuck a gun to your head and made you sin. I've often asked this question. Hey, how old were you when mom sat you down and taught you how to tell a lie? Man, mom never did that. In fact, she caught you lying. She's fixing to snatch you out your laundry. Amen. You fixing to get wore out. Huh? Mom never taught you how to lie. Nobody ever taught you how to sin. Nobody ever forced you to sin. You did that on your own. Remember as a little kid, Mom was going next door to Miss Baggett's house, and I asked her, I said, Mom, could I have some cookies? I think I was about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old. She said no, but she left. So I got up on the counter. Got in a cookie jar. It's Oreos. How are you supposed to resist Oreos? Man, I got crumbs all over my face, crumbs all over the counter. Mom walks in. Scott, you been in that cookie jar? Y'all tell me what I say. No, ma'am. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Huh? Listen, Mom never taught me how to lie like that, but I knew the consequences fixing to come. I didn't want to get in trouble. I didn't want no whooping. And listen, you and I have sinned against a holy God. Nobody ever made you do it. Nobody ever taught you to do it. By nature, you've sinned against a holy God. I told a man yesterday, I said, you stop and think about it. Here's the man that created you, the God that loves you, that wants the best for you. When you sin against him, what you're doing is slapping him in the face and saying, I don't care what you want, I want what I want. Sin's an awful thing. And the consequence, the Bible says, is this, it's a death in hell. You know the verse, for the wages of sin is death. That death isn't just a physical death, but it's a spiritual death. Revelation 21:8 describes it clearly. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers, whoremongers and sorcerers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. That death to our soul that'll spend all of eternity in hell. Listen, that's what we deserve because we've sinned against a holy God. I don't know about you. I don't want to do that. And thank God, because I'm saved, I'm not going to do that. Amen. But can I say that's what I deserved? I was guilty. I deserved what I had coming. I deserved hell. But thank God for that next word in that verse where it says, but. He said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I liked it. I don't know about you, but man, Christmas is coming up. Now, my wife wasn't honest earlier. Her birthday's tomorrow, preacher. Yeah, she looked at me and she said, no. Well, what do you do? Amen. Our anniversary is next Friday. She said, no. I'm getting an eye right now. Now listen, but there's something about her birthdays and Christmas and stuff. Man, listen, I love her, and because I love her, want to get her stuff. Amen. And man, Christmas comes. I go down to Walmart or Penny's or where I'm going to go and find what I want to get her, pick it up off the shelf, and then I got to do something. I got to pay for it. Amen. Now, there's something about a gift. Listen, to the person getting it, it's absolutely free. To the person giving it, they have to pay the price. See, Jesus paid the price for that gift. He shed his precious blood so that you and I might have that gift of God free to us. But he paid the price. And he took upon him our debt. Thank God that Jesus was willing to pay for my sin, willing to pay for your sin. He said, the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He and he alone is the one that paid the price. Now all you and I have to be willing to do is just like that Christmas present under the tree with your name on it is just accepted. Be willing to say to him, I'll take it. But see, it takes doing this, saying to God, God, I'm guilty. I need forgiveness. God, would you come into my heart and would you forgive my sin? Would you save me? I'm so glad for that word shall there in verse Romans 10:13. He said, you shall be saved. I pointed that out many times. That's the promise of God. Aren't you thankful for his promise? Man, that he promised, hey, you call on me. And I'll save you. And again, I'd say this. Hey, salvation will not leave you where it finds you. I believe with all my heart you cannot meet the God that created the universe and it not you not know it and it not change you forever. Thank God it changed me. I'm glad I'm not that same fellow that I used to be. But can I say to be born again is to be saved. But let me continue on quickly. Man, when you get saved, can I say now you can have an abundant life? Hey, now you can have. Turn back to John chapter 10 and verse 10. Many of us already know the verse. But let me just point it out one more time. It said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Hey, Christian. Hey, believer, can I say this? God wants you to have an abundant life. Hey, not just get saved and then go on and live any kind of life. Hey, that's not what he's looking for. Hey, he's looking for somebody that, hey, once they get saved, that they'll continue on to grow in a walk with him. Hey, several things about the abundant life. First, can I say this? The abundant life is a life of fellowship with God. Man, back in 1 John chapter 1, I love these verses. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Listen to this, what it says. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Man, listen, hey, believer, hey, Christian, if you got saved and you're not fellowshipping with him, can I say I feel sorry for you? Hey, listen, you remember back in, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 4:16, is that right? He said, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Hey, God wants to fellowship with you. Have you figured this out yet? This isn't just a history book or something. This is a book that you and I can read and that'll talk to us. Amen. Hey, not in an audible voice, but I've heard from it many times. As I'm reading this book or spending time in prayer, And man, the voice of God begins to speak to me. Why? Because he wants to fellowship with us. Hey, Christian, don't miss out on that. I have to be honest. Preacher, I wish that every time I picked this book up and read it, that I'd hear the voice of God. Can I say I really don't? I want to. But I know there's times that I read it and I don't know, I just don't hear from God like I want to. But I know this, these are the words of life, and I don't have anywhere else to go. But isn't it good? Just like those folks on the road to Emmaus that evening, as they're walking, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? Huh? Isn't it good when you're reading the Word of God, man, your heart just begins to burn within you, fellowshipping with Him. Hey, not only is abundant life fellowship, but I believe this, part of the abundant life is this, is supply from God. You know the verse in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Can I say honestly, that verse refers specifically to missions giving. But can I say it still applies in the life of a Christian? Hey, God wants to supply your need, and God will supply your need. Man, what a promise from God. As part of the abundant life. I don't know about you, but man, there's many times the end of the month comes and the end of the money was way back yonder somewhere, amen? And I've got to have God's help. Man, we just got a bill for those New Testaments, 20,000 New Testaments. I was telling preacher, the bill was $21,515.41. Can I say I'm glad God already supplied that money? It's amazing what God will do. But he wants to supply. And I say not only that, the peace of God. Remember back in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Let me go back over there because I'll misquote it just sure as the world. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Man, when you're fellowshipping with him, when you're walking with him, man, there is a peace when you tell him what's going on. Remember the verse there where he says this? He said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Can I say that's part of the abundant life? It's just that peace that passes understanding. Man, I feel sorry for the crowd that they have to run to the psychiatrist and the psychologist. They got to run to a bottle of pills. Can I say I'd much rather run to the Savior? Hey, there's a lot of hardships in life, a lot of heartaches, a lot of hard emotions to deal with in life. Might as well be honest about it. But can I say, Christian, you and I have the opportunity to go tell the Savior. Go talk to the Father. He says when that happens, there is a peace that passes understanding. Man, what a Savior. Let me quickly go back to John chapter 15, if you would. John chapter 15. I like what he said over here about, I believe, part of the abundant life. Look down to verse 9 through 11 there. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now look at this. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Can I say part of the abundant life is this? It's a life of love and joy of God. Man, I don't know about you. I used to be an angry person. Man, I had an awful temper. Now, instead, I admit it, I'm sitting down there while we're singing, and there are tears in my eyes, just thinking, oh, man, I'm saved. I am saved. I'm headed for heaven. Here I am, sitting in Moore, Oklahoma, getting to see folks saved, get to get up and preach the Word of God again. sing the songs of Zion with brothers and sisters that I don't even know. Man, what a blessing. That's all because of the abundant life in Christ. Let me finish with this one. Remember back in Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. See, when we got saved, the wrath of God had abided on us before. Now I have peace with God. Part of the abundant life. And I say, man, when you get saved, now you can have an abundant life. Let me close with this. When you get saved, now you can have a useful life. Now you can have a useful life. We're here in John chapter 15. If you would, first look at verse 5. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Verse 16, his companion verse there. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Can I say, man, we can have a useful life, a life producing fruit for God. Hey, Christian, let me ask you this. When's the last time you had somebody saved? When's the last time you led somebody to Christ? Hey, can I say this? That's why you're saved. That's the marching orders you're under now. It's to get other folks saved. Hey, if that wasn't the case, he'd just knock us in the head, take us on to heaven once we got saved. Amen. But now, see, hey, listen, don't you understand there's people out there hurting? Come on, in our nation over the last few years, man, between the government and the media, they have folks so fearful of life. People would, just about every church that we have gone to, they lost 30% of their folks during COVID. Because the government scared us to death about a virus. Folks, we've been dealing with viruses for years. And come on, let me help you here. See, the truth is, if you're saved, you can't get sick unless it passes across God's desk and he says, okay. Amen. And I don't care how many masks you wear or vaccines you get, you can't get sick unless he says, okay. So what are we running scared of? Man, listen, he said, wait a minute. I want you to have a useful life. I want you to get others saved. And because there's so many people fearful out there, scared, they don't know what's going on or where things are headed. We were down in Alvin, Texas. A 19-year-old Catholic boy pulled up to the Bible handout. And this is what he said. He said, sir, he said, it seems like to me this the end. And that's something. And I'm telling you, people don't understand what's going on. And they're scared. And here you and I are with the answer. We see what's going on. We understand it. We have the answer. Why in God's dear name are you not telling others? By the way, if you look back there in verse 8, this is what he says. Herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. Let me ask you, when's the last time it was your focus to get somebody saved and get them down to the house of God? If that's not your focus, why not? Hey, I thought as a Christian we're to glorify God. Amen or not. Now, y'all don't get quiet on me. I think I treed something and I'll just stay right there like a coon dog. Amen. Why hadn't you had somebody saved in the last month or in the last 2 months, in the last year? What are you doing? People are hurting, and you and I have the answer. The answer's in Christ. There's many people that are looking for something. Can I say it this way? There's people in your life that Pastor will never know, that I'll never know, but God put them in your life on purpose so that you could talk to them about Christ. Hey, they've watched you. They've seen that you're real. Can I remind you as I close this morning? See, I'm talking to a different crowd this morning. See, this crowd is not like the Walmart crowd. See, you're not like the bank crowd. See, you're not like the hardware store or the car dealership. You go into any of those places, you get on the microphone, say, how many of y'all care whether people get saved or not? What do you think will happen? Man, they'll laugh you right out of that place. But let me ask you this. How many of y'all care whether people get saved or not? Would you slip your hand up? Hands all over the house. See, you don't want to know why? Because this is a crowd that cares. See, this is a crowd that cares whether folks get saved or not. So I know the crowd I'm talking to. See, when you got saved, God put something down here in your heart for others. And when we're not fulfilling that, there's something down in here that is empty. Because God wants us to produce fruit for Him. By the way, if we don't do it, who is? If we don't tell others, who's going to tell them? They're not going to find out at Walmart, not going to find out at the car dealership. By the way, when Peter walked into the temple that day, the lame man asked alms. This is what Peter told him. Look on us. Can I say the lost world has the right to look on us? And they ought to see something real. And when they see something real, God will put something in their heart to listen. They may not get saved, but see, that's not my job and yours. Our job's tell them. God wants them to say. We ought to make it our focus. Not just get saved, but have that abundant life and have that useful life that brings glory to God. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed this morning.